KUJZ is 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire thrower. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Hi, everybody. It is crunch time in sports talk today without Steve Tannen. I'm Nick Rogers. I'm, normally on the show, running the board, producing things here. Steve is out today. He's going under what he's been calling a medical procedure that was pre-planned in advance, and he had to take the day off for it. Steve is doing just fine, sending emails, and I've been talking to him today, and he'll be okay and back tomorrow. So today, it's just me. I am in the luxurious KUJZ studios, sitting behind the board at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk, and I'm here to do Crunch Time and Sports Talk today until 6 o'clock, and it's a little strange being in here all by my lonesome on what has been an extremely emotional day, 24, 27 hours in the world of sports. So, as always, you can call us on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. That's 541-284-8571. I won't be able to screen your calls or anything like that like I normally do. So if you call in, you will be going right on the air. And, we'll have to we'll do the screening process on air. So please, if you have anything to say or anything that you would normally... if you're calling in to kind of chit-chat with me or just something that you want to pass along to Steve in this case, it's going to have to be said on air. You can also tweet us at 953thescore. That's the station's handle. I'll be looking at that all day. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and I've got access to the text line as well. That's 541-321-0824. It's going to be an interesting day. So everybody's been talking about the passing, the tragic passing and the shocking passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and the seven others that were aboard the helicopter that crashed yesterday morning. And I had known for a while that I was going to be hosting today, and I was starting to prepare on Sunday morning. What are some things that have happened? Duck fans might want to talk about Justin Herbert. You've got the Civil War. I had that all set up to record. I was going to watch that on a replay because I was going to the men's game. We were going to be able to talk about that, and we've got Chris Duarte, and we've got Sabrina Ionescu, and all these great things are happening around Oregon sports. The Blazers played great last night. I was preparing for all of these things, and I get a message, and I look down at my phone, and it says, Kobe died, WTF? And I was just like, no, that can't be. He was just in Philly. He was watching the Lakers play. LeBron just passed him on the scoring list. I thought it was wrong. I checked Twitter. I thought Twitter was wrong. And I'm still kind of hoping that it's wrong. It's been more than a day now since the news has come out and been confirmed, and I'm still kind of hoping that it's wrong for some reason. And I'm not even a basketball fan, which I think a lot of you, if you've listened to the show for a while, basketball isn't my forte. It's not my strong point. I didn't grow up playing it. I didn't really watch it a whole bunch on TV when I was a kid. I got into hockey, and so I paid a lot more attention to hockey when hockey was going on with basketball. And I'm just... And I don't know why, but for some reason, this really came through, and this one really got to me, and this one was really shocking and surprising, and all of a sudden, I realized all of these feelings that I had about Kobe and how he's not here anymore, and I started to realize I'm going to have to talk about this for 3 hours on Monday, and I'm not the best at doing that, and all I could think about was, Steve is really perfect for this, isn't he? Steve is so good when these big emotional moments happen of being able to boil them down to a point being able to find and process everything so quickly and talk about it eloquently. And I'm just, I'm the guy, like, I'm today supposed to be the guy who's supposed to sit back and, you know, let Steve do his thing. And then when the moment's right, you know, make a joke to lighten up the mood. And I can't really do that today. So this is, going to be tough for me. I was getting emotional all over again. Writing my notes for the show and preparing for everything. So please, if you guys are out there listening, text in, call in, and we actually have a caller on the line now. Welcome to Crunch Time without Steve Tannen. Who's this? Oh, nope, we don't have somebody on the line. Here we go. We just got another caller just called in. Thank you for calling Crunch Time. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Nick, it's Dylan. And I was just calling about yesterday's situation. And how much it touched Sabrina, and how emotional she was at the start of the game. I know Gianna was a big part of her, and Gianna looked up to her as a role model. And there's a lot of pictures of her and Kobe. And I know that I'd heard that she wanted to become a Duck in the future. She probably had a few other schools on her list, but I know Oregon was one of the top ones, so... I know it's really hard for Sabrina to deal with today, and just looked tough for the whole women's team yesterday, and just a real sad day for basketball in general, for everybody as fans.
Yeah, it's brutal. Sabrina was just so, the videos of her, because I was able to kind of watch the game yesterday, but I was at the men's game, so the videos I was seeing on social media of how emotional she was, and the, you know, OSU and Oregon having a prayer before the game on the court while they were doing warm-ups because everybody was so broken down. It was an incredibly moving day.
I agree.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Dylan. Appreciate it. Let's actually continue with our next caller. Caller, you are live on Crunch Time without Steve Tannen. Who's this?
Eddie? Hello?
Hi, you are live on the air, Crunch Time. Who's this?
Hey, yo, Eddie's mom said to do his laundry and get the milk on the way home. Who this?
This is, did you call the wrong number?
Yeah.
Okay. Believe, all right, off to a good start here. Had a wrong number call. Gonna let Eddie go and finish up his grocery list, I guess. So yeah, this is man. What I'm still like at a loss for words for what happened on Sunday, and it feels like such a big where were you when kind of moment, something that's gonna stick for you forever, stick with you forever because of how large of a figure in the sports world Kobe was, because it wasn't just basketball. I saw so many videos of, you know, players all around the world playing different sports that were all moved and, you know, sending tributes to Kobe and talking about how he was a guy that they idolized and someone who was a mentor to them and somebody who wanted to be like him and play like him and take that Mamba mentality and take it to a whole new level. And, you know, Neymar scored a goal yesterday for PSG, and he very calmly threw up a 2-4 in front of the camera and did a little bow in respect to Kobe. There, you know, I follow a lot of soccer players from England or from, you know, in Europe, and they were all posting about Kobe. You've got people retweeting a whole bunch of athletes that you would never think playing sports that are outside of, you know, basketball that were so inspired by him. And it just made the loss all that much worse. And it's just so sad. I don't really know what else to say about it. I think I'm going to end up saying it a lot. It's really, really sad and tragic of a loss to have this happen. And it's really emotional. There was so many different things that happened, and, you know, Kobe playing for the Lakers and the Lakers getting really big. He's doing a lot of historic things. He's winning titles with them. Like he was for a large portion of, you know, the early mid 2000s. Like he was basketball. You know, there was that, I guess, maybe like a power vacuum after MJ had retired. And, you know, he came back and played for the Wizards. But come on, that's not MJ. Like, there's this power vacuum of somebody that needed to take over basketball. And Kobe was there to do it. And he was basketball. He inspired all of these players in the NBA to play like him, to be like him, to play this kind of way. You know, LeBron, I'll play the sound later, but he talked about one of the first times he met Kobe at an All-Star game was actually in Philly, where the Lakers played on Saturday, when LeBron passed Kobe on the all-time scoring list. And he's like, I met him at this All-Star game. I was 11. He gave me his shoes. It was this huge, big moment. And like, it just I can't believe, it's really shocking that he's gone at only 41. I mean, he won an Oscar too, which is pretty insane. And then, you know, everybody else also talking about his daughter Gianna, who was on the plane with, or on the helicopter when that went down. The Altobelli family, who have ties to Oregon and Eugene as well. Their son played for the Ducks for some time, 2010 through 2012 with the baseball team. I printed out an article I'll probably read from a little bit later from Bob Nightingale about John Altobelli and his impact on baseball and the people that knew him and who played for him and where he coached and all like that. And I'm really hoping that, you know, some other articles are written about the other people on the plane. I know there was a coach who was, let's see, Christina Mauser, who was a coach in the Mamba Academy, Sarah and Peyton Chester, and Ara Zabayan, who was the pilot of the helicopter, who also died in this crash. It's tragic and it's sad and it's hard to process. I've listened to a lot of people today that talked about how the fragility of life and how quickly it ends and how important it is to talk to people and tell people that they love them and how they love one another. I think it was Kendrick Perkins and Kevin Durant got into a Twitter feud like a couple weeks ago. And I think he tweeted like, man, I meant nothing but love. This is, you know, let's get past it. Let's move past it. Life is too short to be caught up in this kind of thing. The Lakers were incredibly emotional. I think there was a nice-ish shot, I guess, of footage of LeBron getting off the plane and, you know, wiping tears away from his face, which it's cool to see that he's emotional about it, but of course he's emotional about it. He just had a moment with him, you know, probably less than 24 hours ago where he was, you know, congratulating him on passing him on the all-time scoring list. And they're Lakers, part of this Laker franchise together, and they're basketball icons together. And all of a sudden he's gone. And, you know, it's okay, nice to see that he's very emotional about it, but it kind of also would have been nice to let LeBron have that private moment for himself without people, you know, swarming in and filming him. I guess also late off the wire as well from Andrew Greif, who covers the Lakers for, I believe, the LA Times. Yeah. Tweeted out that the Lakers and Clippers game tomorrow night has been postponed. This is a statement from the NBA. The National Basketball Association game between the Los Angeles Lakers and LA Clippers, scheduled for Tuesday, January 28th at the Staples Center, has been postponed. The decision was made out of respect for the Lakers organization, which is deeply grieving the tragic loss of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven other people in a helicopter crash Sunday. The game will be rescheduled at a later time. And Shams Charina, who, along with Adrian Wojnarowski, and listening to Woj this morning on Jim Rome, another side note, Jim Rome this morning was fantastic. I had known, listening to his program for a while, that he and Kobe were... I think Rome played it down a lot today because he kept saying, you know, oh, Kobe and I, we weren't all that close. We, you know, he would come on my show and we'd talk to each other and we'd occasionally go to Javier's when he'd text me or whatever. And I think he was kind of downplaying their friendship. But I, you know, he'd been on his podcast. He'd been on, you know, basically every program that Jim Rome had been on since Kobe was a Laker. Kobe had been talking to Jim Rome, and that's, you know, 20-plus years. I mean, Kobe was drafted as a 17-year-old to the, you know, well, drafted to the Charlotte Hornets, traded to the L.A. Lakers. But, you know, as an 18-year-old, and he retired when he was, 4 years ago, so that puts him at 37. So, yeah, he spent, you know, 20 years in the NBA, and that was his, you know, more than his entire life without being in the NBA, and he spent a lot of that with Rome, and I expected a lot out of him, and Rome was great today, and so you'll hear his open. I'll play that later in the show. Pat McAfee, who's also on in the mornings, he tweeted out the opening to his show this morning. That's on KUJZ in the mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. here, if I can do a little cross-promotion as well. They were fantastic, and you'll hear what they have to say, and they really eloquently put a lot of things together. I think I more relate to Pat McAfee because I never met Kobe. I wasn't even a basketball fan, and I think I related to his emotions of all day yesterday, because it kind of, in a really strange way, it put me into a bit of a haze around the emotions of, you know, now I have to go cover and watch the Oregon men are playing a game. And this is, you know, this was something I thought I was going to have to talk about, you know, Oregon men's and women's basketball for a lot of today by myself here, as Nick Rogers in for Steve Tannen. Steve is out today. He had a medical procedure. He'll be back on Tuesday. This is Crunch Time and Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. Hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. You can text us on the text line 541-321-0824, or give us a call where you'll be sent right on the air. So if you're like Eddie a couple minutes ago, who's calling about, I guess double check to make sure you're calling the right number. The number to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline is 284-8571. But I related a lot more to McAfee in that, you know, he says that he grew up a Laker fan, as you'll hear him talk about. But it's just this huge emotional moment, and you're going to a basketball game, and it's like, it feels weird that basketball is being played today. And there were a lot of NBA games yesterday where it seemed like for a minute those games were going to be canceled, and then they weren't canceled, and the great tributes that were being done around the league by the teams taking 24 and then 8 second violations. All of that as an honor to Kobe, I think was spectacular. A lot of the stuff that was done yesterday and a lot of the things that were written about Kobe and his family and his daughter. And it's when I was, you know, writing out my thoughts and writing out my notes, and it was every time I thought about Gianna and how much he was doing for the women's game at that point that it really got to me. And I'm not a dad, but, you know, I'm a brother and I'm a son. And, you know, I really felt for them in that moment, and for his wife, Vanessa, to lose her husband and her child in the same day, probably with some family friends as well. it sucks, and it's tragic, and it's horrible. And life isn't fair, but it feels especially unfair on days like today. Because I think Kobe, you know, he was 41, and he was supposed to be around basketball for forever. Like, we were supposed to see him going to Gianna's college basketball games and her WNBA games, and I guess we weren't going to see Kobe go gray because he shaved his head a long time ago as he transitioned from 8 to 24. He's like, it's Scott Van Pelt. He calls it coming home. You get the razor out, just zeros all over. Kobe had done that a while ago. And so we weren't going to see his hair turn gray, but let's see some gray hairs in the beard. Let's see Kobe and Shaq getting old together, and LeBron when he's retired and they're hanging out courtside at Laker games. And, you know, what was his second act going to be in life, as everybody's kind of been calling it, where he writes and directs the Dear Basketball poem, which won him an Oscar, which is incredible. And, you know, he has production companies, and he's still involved with basketball, and just so much was, you know, supposed to be coming from him, from a guy that everybody expected to be around for a really long time. And he's gone, and it's It's really sad. And the impact on Oregon as well, with how close Sabrina Ionescu was with Kobe and his daughter Gianna, and he had been to several of their games and talked to the players. Coach Graves, who won't be on today, but I'm sure will be talking to Steve tomorrow during his regular 5:05, 5:10 time slot on Fridays. We'll have a lot to say about the emotions before the game, and you know, he kind of talked about that. I've got some sound from Coach that we'll play later too. So it's a sad day in sports, and I'm trying to work through it. I'm Nick Rogers. I'm in for Steve today. It's Crunch Time in Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. Steve's having had a medical procedure today. He's doing fine. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure talking more about this. Maybe we'll might move on to some other things. The Super Bowl is happening in 6 days, and media night is tonight. And it was especially strange to see hear the shows from CBS Sports Network, where you kind of expect them to be in Miami on location and getting ready to talk to a bunch of celebrities that are sponsored by Skechers and Pepsi and Reese's or whatever, and you know, peddling products the whole day during media week, and you're supposed to be getting ready for the biggest sporting event on the planet, and unfortunately, this tragedy happens, and everybody stayed at home, and it's taken over the sports world. So we'll be talking about that today. I've got a lot of sound I wanted to play as well. And feel free to get involved. You can call us 284-8571. That's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Text us on the text line, which I've got access to, 321-0824. And hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore for the station, at Rick Nodgers for me. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back with more Crunch Time and Sports Talk without Steve Tannen here on 95.3 The Score.
Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
It still seems so unreal. And then I settled back on Vanessa and Natalia and Bianca and Capri and what they've lost in a father and a husband and a sibling. And I think about John Altobelli and his wife, Carrie, and his daughter, Alyssa. And I know that surviving is, a son, JJ, and their daughter, Alexis. Then you say, where do you go from here? And I think this is just a time where your faith and your family and your friends will try to get you through something like this. And I'm hopeful that there is all of those elements in plentiful supply for all the families that have just been shattered here.
That is Ernie Johnson of the NBA on TNT. He was speaking with Hannah Storm during the 12 p.m. Sports Center today on ESPN. Welcome back to Crunch Time without Steve Tannen. Nick Rogers in for Steve this afternoon. Steve will be back tomorrow, and we are obviously going to be talking a whole bunch about the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, and as Ernie mentioned, as well, John Altobelli was a college baseball coach. He was the father of former Duck J.J. Altobelli. George Horton actually put out on Twitter today a photo of them, if I can find it here. I know I retweeted it from the 953 The Score account. From this morning, George Horton, the former Oregon Duck baseball coach, tweeting, it was Alto's dream to be able to coach for his country. He made a huge impact. When I think they coached Team U.S., the collegiate Team USA, I believe it was. Obviously, for George to be able to coach John's son, JJ, and then to be able to coach with him as well. Pretty emotional stuff. And, you know, Ernie, as good as he is, did I say John? Ernie Johnston. Always very so eloquent. And I'm sure when, you know, the NBA, I think they do Wednesdays or no, ESPN's on Wednesday. So Thursday night, probably going to be a big emotional evening as well. The Lakers are not going to play on Tuesday night. Their next game is still at home against Portland on Friday. So I know there's a lot of Blazer fans out there. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and he was saying, like, I didn't like Kobe because he was a Laker and he always beat the Blazers. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel pretty much the same way about Kobe, but there's really nothing that, you know, he was just an ultra competitor. You can't really knock a guy for being as competitive as Kobe was and wanting to win, because he made that the most important thing. So I'm Nick. I'm in for Steve. We're going to go now to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you are live on Crunch Time and Sports Talk. Who is this?
Steven Baroni. I want to say I am very depressed about Kobe Bryant. I wish him and his family members a good luck. And I want to say, everybody choose kindness about Kobe Bryant, the one who passed away the other day.
All right. Thank you, Steven. Thank you for calling in. I know we're all pretty much in the same sad state of shock, and, you know, kind of all feeling the same way. It's all very emotional. It's a very very big emotional day that I was, you know, kind of prepared to fill in for Steve today, but not necessarily like this. But the article from Bob Nightingale on USA Today is headlined, "John Altobelli Remembered as Kobe of Junior College World," which is really interesting. And it's incredible to read about him because, you know, I kind of recognized the Altobelli name. I saw JJ and I was like, I know that from something. And I looked it up, and any direct emotional tie you can get something, you know, personally to you makes everything that much stronger and that much more real. And so reading this about Altobelli was pretty heartbreaking. Nightingale writes, 3 weeks ago, Altobelli was being honored as the National Coach of the Year at the annual American Baseball Coaches Association convention after winning his fourth state title in 27 years at Orange Coast College of Costa Mesa, California. He had bounced around as well. He had coached Aaron Judge, Jeff McNeil, and other future major leaguers during his 3 years with the Brewster Whitecaps of the Cape Cod League. And everybody is really just as shocked that he's gone as everyone else is. Jeff McNeil tweeting, "Tough to hear the news of Coach Altobelli, one of my favorite coaches I've ever played for, and one of the main reasons I got a chance to play professional baseball. Both the baseball and basketball worlds lost a great one today." Michigan baseball, they actually won the College World Series last summer, and apparently they were doing some sort of celebratory pull the rope motion, like they were kind of pull the rope or row the boat? Yeah, here it is. Michigan reaching the College World Series in 2019, they made a pulling the rope gesture after extra base hits to show they were all pulling together. Altobelli was the one who came up with the idea, and one of his former players, center fielder Corey Brewer, transferred to Michigan. He passed it along to the Michigan program as well. So it's really emotional to read about all of these lives and families that were lost and kind of, you know, ruined on just what everything else was a normal Sunday morning up to that point. Everything was just a normal thing, and Kobe was taking his helicopter to go to a basketball game for his daughter, the Altobellis. Their daughter, Alyssa, was on the same team as the team Gianna was on. That's why they were in that ride together. He had a coach with them as well. This was something that Kobe would kind of do fairly regularly. And it takes off in the morning, and, you know, however long later it was, five families' lives and a lot of people's lives, you know, around the country and the sports world are changed forever for it. Going to go back to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline now to take a caller. Caller, welcome to Crunch Time. You are live on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Nick, it's expired number 61 in your old programs, number one in the hearts of Husky hate everywhere. It's Nick Cody. How's it going, man?
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Trying to lighten things up. They never give you the easy days, do they?
No, it's over the summer when there's nothing going on and you've got to talk cornhole with intern Sam or talk about the death of an American sports icon with nobody else here.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. And yesterday was tough for us all. The team had the opportunity to meet Kobe. I know a lot of people know he was kind of a Duck fan, you know, with his ties with Nike and everything, coming to the area a lot. He saw a few of our games, and we got to actually meet him. I think it was after a Suns game. national title. We're in Glendale, and you know, we had to wait around, and when he was done icing, getting treatment, man, he took all the time in the world just to come give us a pretty short inspirational speech, take some pictures with guys. But I just remember being really taken back by what a personal guy he was. And that was pretty shocking from a lot of the professional athletes I had met in my life, especially anybody that big. And it's just to see the impact he's had on everybody and how everybody's hurting today, it's something else, man.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's really like lasted through all of this, is that he could have very easily, as you know, the face of basketball, the biggest, you know, guy in sports for arguably for some time in America, he could have shut himself off, lived up on a hill, continued to grind, and just maybe would have been perceived as, you know, he's an ultra competitor, but he's just being a real Richard with Shaq, and why can't they get along? And yeah, I don't like the guy. And for him to be able to show off this personal side with like everybody that he met is truly incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because of some of the things he did. But, you know, he always tried to better himself. It always seemed like even when he did make a mistake, he learned and he grew from it. And I think, you know, there's a lot out there that can be taken from that. On another note, JJ was a Duck when I was there. I didn't know him personally, but I knew a few baseball guys. And, you know, for me, once a Duck, always a Duck. I know he's a scout right now, I think, for the Red Sox. But everybody send your love out that way. I know him and his sister. His sister still has to go through college and has a lot going ahead. And my thoughts just go out to him. It's terrible. I lost my dad when I was 16. And it's just, it's one of those things that, you know, everybody's talking about Kobe, but all the other lives and the families impacted by this, you know, everybody needs to continue to send support to them too, because it's not just going to be hard today or this week. You know, the rest of their lives are completely changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And like a lot of people are saying, if you want to get over a grudge with somebody, you know, maybe now's the time, because, you know, anything can happen anytime, anywhere. So thank you for calling, Nick. Appreciate it. Good luck with your podcast work with intern Sam. If you want to give that a plug, you're more than welcome to. Although, is it the off season for you guys?
Oh, no, we're still going. We just got into basketball season. We got some big guests ahead, but we started basketball season off this year with Jordan Kett as our guest. And you can check us out on at Once a Duck on Twitter, or just look up Once a Duck anywhere you get a podcast. And thanks again. Thanks for the love. And everybody take care of yourselves. Go Ducks.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling, Nick. Nick Cody, the former number 61 in your programs, number one in your hearts. Like he said, the number one in the hearts of Husky haters as well. He's on Twitter at JustFollow61. Yeah, Nick talking about meeting Kobe reminds me, Jordan Bell just tweeted out a video from Oregon men's basketball when the men's team in 2017 was at the Final Four, and they got the chance to meet Kobe. And it was after the game yesterday that Dana Altman kind of shared this message where, you know, they asked Peyton Pritchard and Will Richardson, who were the players, talking to the media, and then with Altman. And he shared this story about, he's like, yeah, we had been watching film all day, and we'd done, you know, I think 2-3 sessions, something like that, in the afternoon, and done a little walkthrough and all this. And Altman was trying to keep it a secret for the guys so that they could be, you know, super surprised when they met Kobe, because I think a lot of them were going to meet him for the first time. And Jordan Bell, being from Long Beach, probably grew up a Lakers fan, rooting for the Lakers, rooting for Kobe, I would imagine. But Dana's like, yeah, we're going to do one more film session. Like, let's get back to the hotel here. And then instead of film, it's, oh, hey, it's Kobe Bryant. It's, you know, a guy who's probably been an idol for you guys. And they've actually got a video. Jordan Bell just tweeted it out. The men's team did as well. Of everybody meeting Kobe, and, you know, Dylan Ennis is in shock. There's a very young Peyton Pritchard in that video as well. Dylan Brooks, I think it's all in there. And Jordan tweeting, I remember everybody was in shock, and I had to shake his hand to see if it was real. This moment was surreal. I'll never forget it. And I think that's what a lot of people that have met Kobe, that were able to meet him or just to talk to him, and just know that he was, you know, a real guy. He had real emotions. And he cared about people in a way off the court that he treated them differently from on the court, that, you know, the Mamba mentality of going after everybody and wanting to be the best and the chip on his shoulder from not having won enough, basically never being enough or anything like that. He was always striving for more. And but then to be able to take time off the court to be a real person and to be kind of like that perfect sports role model that everybody kind of envisions their hero that they would want to be. I think it was Michael Wilbon yesterday said that he went to a Washington Wizards game and he was talking with Kobe and he met him and was just like, oh, is this your son? And, you know, talked to him one-on-one. And they, you know, I think they did a little chit chat together or something like that and went off together and had their own special moment and talked about, you know, whatever it was, like that was their time. And like, it was very special of Kobe to take that time from, you know, yeah, it's a member of the media and you're trying to be nice to everybody and be nice to the media members so they'll write nice things about you. But, you know, it happened with people who weren't in the media. You think about Kobe being a guy who's offering families rides in helicopters to go to games, to get there quicker, to be there faster, to spend time together because their daughters are friends and he's friends with their parents and all of this stuff. And it's just his loss, I think, is like I've said, it's tragic. I'm going to keep saying it as well. This is it's brutal. It's sad. And it's a tough one. So I'm Nick. Nick Rogers in for Steve Tannen today. Crunch Time and Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. Steve's back on Tuesday. As always, connect with me. Hit me up on the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 284-8571. I've got access to the text line as well. Actually got a couple texts during the last break. Where are they here? Oh, I'm looking for him. Yeah, this is a screenshot from ESPN on Instagram where it looks like the UConn Huskies will be honoring Gianna Bryant ahead of their game versus Team USA. They've got a number 2 jersey on the bench with some flowers there, which is extra heartbreaking. It's actually, let me play that now. This is Kobe Bryant was on Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know when. I probably should have looked that up. Kobe Bryant was on Jimmy Kimmel talking about his daughter Gianna and kind of her love of basketball.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does for sure.
She does?
I don't. I mean, this kid, man.
Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you gotta have a boy. UNV gotta have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oi, I got this. You know, boy, for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
Man, yeah, I think when the report came out, there is, you know, the first report that was wrong, that was it was Kobe and all 4 of his daughters were on the plane. And that was tragic enough. And then to hear that he was on the plane with his daughter during a helicopter crash, which probably like a plane crash is just chaos and out of control. And, I haven't tried to think about what that would be like, too much because I don't want to. I think I heard a clip from Izzy Gutierrez when I was trying to pull sound from some things. He was on the Lebatard show and he broke down thinking about that moment in that time, and that was pretty heartbreaking. And I think it was Brandon McCarthy tweeted out that I've got the quote here. Oh, geez, I took a lot of notes today. Where did I put that one? Oh man, it was in italics and everything. Here it is. Brandon McCarthy, the former Major League Baseball player, tweeting out last night. The loss of Kobe hurts the sports world on so many levels, but I can't help but feel it was women's sports where he was going to leave his lasting impact. He was so passionate about his daughters and his belief that if you can play, you can play. And that's something that looked like it was going to happen. Like that, those videos and those pictures of him sitting courtside with Gianna, or Gigi as everybody's been calling her, and him teaching her basketball and how she was playing and people finding pictures of them holding their jersey in their mouths the same way and playing like her dad because her dad's trying to teach her what he did, and it just felt like he was going to be a champion for the WNBA and for women's sports and for women's basketball. And that was going to be right for him, and now that was taken away. I'm going to take a quick break. We are still going to do some regular Monday stuff. I'm going to come back with the Richter scale. I very strangely wrote myself questions as if I was going to ask them to Steve, and then I'm going to try and answer the questions that I wrote for myself about some of the other bigger sporting events that happened this weekend. So we'll get to that next. I'm Nick. I'm in for Steve. Find me on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Hit us up on the station on Twitter at 953thescore. As always, you can call in 541-284-8571. That's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And text us 541-321-0824. Nick Rodgers in for Steve Tannen. We'll be back with more Crunch Time after this.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Sobley steps through in the lane. Glass, no, got her on rebound. Oh, that's Hebert. Hebert in traffic up, and it won't go. Sobley rebound and scores, and a foul. And one coming up for Satu Sobley.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Crunch Time and Sports Talk. Today, without Steve Tannen, that is a call from Terry Johns on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College from Sunday's game up in Corvallis. The Oregon Ducks get their first win against the Beavers in 10 years, in a decade. First time in a decade. First time for Kelly Graves in his 6 years at Oregon. He's won up at Gill. First time for Sabrina that in 4 years she gets the win up in Gill. And we'll talk about it in a little bit. Oregon wins 66-57. Winning by nine. Pretty big deal. I was kind of slightly infringing on my rights, I think, as a journalist sitting on press row at MKA, where they've got the little TVs that normally have the stat board on them. And 2 weeks ago, I did this during the AFC Championship game, too. I actually changed the channel so that I could watch the women's game while sitting down at a basketball game, so I could kind of multitask. I was keeping an eye on both games and watching Oregon play, and they were playing really well. But right now, we're going to do kind of what we always do on a Monday to wrap things up. Obviously, Kobe Bryant taking over the sports weekend, and it's going to dominate the rest of the show as well. So I think makes sense that today we take a break from that. I need to take a break from that to talk about some other big sporting events that happened during the weekend. It's how we wrap up Mondays during Crunch Time. It's the Richter scale.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to me for wrapping up Crunch Time on a Monday. It's the Richter scale. Normally, I'm asking Steve these questions, but today I'll be asking myself these questions because I've been left alone in the KUJZ studios. We're actually going to start. Let's start with the Oregon women. They had a big weekend taking on their rivals from the North twice in 3 days. And for the first time in 6 years under Kelly Graves, so the first time since 2010, the Oregon Ducks come away with a win at Gill Coliseum. Playing with heavy hearts, the two teams shared a very emotional moment before the start of the game, coming together for a prayer filled with tears as well from everyone on both sides. Sabrina, very close, obviously, with Kobe, but his daughter Gianna came out with Forever 24 written on her shoes, as did many other Oregon and Oregon State players, and, you know, kind of feeling weird emotionally having to play in this game. Being competitors, they persevered and powered forward through a win. Kind of a tight back and forth game all the way into the third quarter until the Ducks were able to pull away. Sabrina led all Ducks with 19. Ruthie had 14 rebounds and some great play from the bench, as well as Taylor Chavez getting a lot of minutes, 2 of 2 from three. It all ends with the 66-57 win over the Beavers. My question to Steve would have been, how big of an impact does this road win have on the women's team? My answer to that is it's a big win. It's the first time getting their win at Gill. I think that's major. Coach Graves talking after the home edition, well, home for us edition of the Civil War, that was, you know, filling a hole in their resume, you know, filling up that zero of no wins against this team. So being able to get that, especially against a top 10 team, pretty hostile environment, that's a big win for Oregon. Winning on the road, also important, as the Ducks next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have 7 road games over the next 2 months. They have 2 games at home, 9 games, 7 of them on the road, and including a trip to UConn, which is a week from today, actually almost a week from right now. They'll be getting ready to tip off against number 4 UConn. So being able to play on the road against a big-time opponent, getting this kind of win, it's pretty important. And this is definitely a moment they're going to have to draw back on, and they're going to have to remember how they felt, how it felt to be behind, how it felt to come back to get a win. And, you know, playing on the road is certainly going to be a huge storyline and talking point for this Oregon team for some time to come. So I'm going to give that one an 8. Next up, Oregon basketball had a major weekend for the men and women. We'll start going out to the men. They're keeping up a fun little routine of winning 2 games at home, losing the first game on the road, winning the second game of the road trip, winning 2 games at home. They continued that little streak routine going on with the SoCal schools. They took down the top dog in the Pac-12, USC, in a double overtime win. And finally, for the first time in forever, get a runaway win, taking down UCLA 96-75. Chris Duarte took the game over again, just an absolutely loaded stat line. 8-14 from the field, 4-7 from 3, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 6 more steals. In 2 games, he had 14 of them. It's just incredible. And a highly irregular 4x5 stat line. He was actually 3 blocks away from the 5x5, too, so not too shabby. The Ducks head to the road to Bay Area this week, starting at Cal, and having not won the opening game of a road trip so far in conference play, it's looking like this one might be pretty tough. How important of a Pac-12 road trip is this for Oregon? Well, I'm thinking it is kind of an important road trip. I think it's maybe more important to start off, you know, maybe using these not so hostile environments at Haas and Maples Pavilion as being games that Oregon can kind of get their mojo right on the road. But I think later on in the season, those road trips to Arizona, Arizona State are going to be much more important. So I'm only going to give this one a 6. I have one more. I don't have time for it. So it's about Justin Herbert and the Senior Bowl. Real quick, just how big of an impact did Herbert's Senior Bowl performance have on his draft stock? Pretty minimal. I think for his impact at Oregon, it means a little bit more. But just kind of the draft stock, it'll come and go. I think maybe he bumps up a couple spots, but it's still far too early to tell. All right, that's Crunch Time down. 1 hour down, 2 more to go. I'm Nick. I'm in for Steve. We're doing Crunch Time and Sports Talk without Steve Tannen, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to 95.3 The Score.
But, man, y'all got a coconut up.